Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 4, Defense in Depth. Alice, I want to start with castles.
Medieval castles. Not a metaphor I'm forcing. This is literally where the concept comes from. Castle builders understood that a single wall, no matter how thick, eventually falls. So they built 5 or 6 layers. The hill slowed the approach. The town walls forced a fight. The moat stopped siege engines. The outer wall caught the first wave. The inner wall, taller with archers looking down, caught whoever made it through. And the keep, the innermost vault, had its own barred doors even when the courtyard was secure.
Ugh. Each layer assumes the one before it has already been breached.
Exactly. That's the key insight. The inner wall isn't redundant. It's designed to function when the outer wall has fallen. In cybersecurity, NIST, the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, defines defense in depth the same way. Variable barriers across multiple layers, each operating independently. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, published an advisory in July 2024 after the Red Team compromised a federal agency specifically because the organization lacked layered defenses beyond the perimeter.
So, what does this look like translated into a legal SaaS application?
6 layers. Layer 1, network perimeter. Your WAF, Web Application Firewall, a filter that sits in front of your application and blocks known attack patterns, catches things like SQL injection signatures, where attackers try to sneak database commands into your inputs, and XSS payloads, which is cross-site scripting where attackers inject malicious scripts into web pages. Layer 2, application-level input validation. Even if the WAF passes something novel, parameterized queries, where user input is kept separate from database commands so it can never be executed as code, and strict type checking rejects it. Layer 3, authentication. Multi-factor authentication, requiring something beyond just a password, like a phone code, session rotation, and modern password hashing, which is the one-way scrambling of passwords so they're never stored in readable form. Layer 4. Authorization enforced at the data layer, not just the API route. Matter-scoped isolation so lawyers only see their assigned cases. Layer 5. Encryption. Data at rest, meaning stored data is scrambled on disk. Data in transit, meaning it's encrypted while traveling over the network. And for privileged documents, application layer encryption with keys the infrastructure provider cannot access. Layer 6, immutable audit logging that records every access and failed attempt.
And the critical point is each of those has to work independently.
If your authorization depends on authentication being correct, and authentication depends on the WAF blocking forged tokens, you have one layer pretending to be free. Microsoft's Zero Trust Framework, where you never trust any user or system by default, even inside your own network, calls this verify explicitly. Every layer authenticates and authorizes on its own. Assume the layer above you has been completely compromised. Can you still protect the data?
Right, which brings us to an uncomfortable question. A lot of SaaS products delegate entire layers to a single provider. Authentication to Okta, encryption to AWS, KMS, Amazon's key management service, which handles encryption keys, monitoring to one vendor. What happens when the provider itself gets breached?
October 2023. Attackers stole session tokens from Okta's customer support system. They were in uploaded diagnostic files. Because Okta handled authentication for thousands of organizations, the breach cascaded downstream. 1Password, Beyond Trust, Cloudflare, 134 customers affected. If your entire authentication layer is that one provider with nothing behind it, their breach is your breach.
So what's the mitigation? You can't not use managed services.
You can use them, but you layer behind them. Even after ARPA firms identity, your authorization layer independently verifies that user should access that specific matter. Even after AWS KMS decrypts at the infrastructure level, your application layer encryption protects the most sensitive documents with separately managed keys. A compromised provider gives the attacker one layer, not all of them.
Right. This is the assume breach mentality I've been hearing about.
Core tenet of zero trust. You design every component assuming adjacent components are compromised. The question isn't, can this be breached? Everything can be breached. The question is, when this component is breached, what else falls? If the answer is everything, you have a depth problem.
Let's make this concrete. You mentioned a case study, plain text API keys in a database.
Classic scenario. A legal document management system stores API keys for court e-filing services, cloud storage providers, maybe an AI service, all in a database table as plain text strings. CloudCK documented a real case where a single SQL injection exposed not just the application database, but 45 other databases, 240 S3 buckets, and an entire AWS cloud setup. The SQL injection gave access to IAM credentials, identity and access management keys, essentially the master passwords for cloud services, stored in the database, which gave access to everything else.
So a web application bug becomes full cloud account takeover.
Because there was no depth. The Excellian FTA breach in 2021, same pattern. Attackers used SQL injection to retrieve encryption tokens from the database. A web vulnerability became a decryption capability. Law firms were among the victims. If those tokens had been in an HSM, a hardware security module, a dedicated physical device that stores encryption keys and never lets them leave, instead of a queryable table, the SQL injection would have yielded ciphertext, encrypted gibberish. Useless without physical HSM access.
Yeah, walk me through the difference. Same initial attack, SQL injection hits the search endpoint, without depth versus with depth.
Without depth, attacker queries the keys table, gets plain text credentials, authenticates to cloud storage, downloads the entire client document corpus. One vulnerability, total compromise. With depth, attacker hits the same injection, queries the keys table, but gets encrypted blobs because keys are HSM wrapped. Can't use them. Meanwhile, the anomalous query pattern triggers an audit alert. Security team catches it in hours, patches the injection, rotates credentials. Same entry point, radically different blast radius.
Right, because the encryption layer didn't trust the application layer to be secure.
And the audit layer didn't trust any of the other layers to prevent the breach. Each one assumed everything above it had already failed and asked, given that assumption, what can I still protect? That's defense in depth. Not three products from the same vendor checking the same thing three times. Independent layers, different trust assumptions, heterogeneous controls.
For a legal SaaS team hearing this, what's the one thing they should do tomorrow morning?
Pick your most sensitive data asset. Probably privileged client communications. Trace the path from the internet to that data. Count the independent layers an attacker must defeat. Not bypass, defeat independently, to reach it. If the number is less than 3, you have work to do. If any single component compromise gives access to everything, you have urgent work to do.
Defense in depth. The principle that kept crown jewels safe for centuries. Apply to the data your clients trust you to protect. Next episode. We're covering the CIA triad meets legal privilege, confidentiality, integrity, and availability through the lens of professional duty.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.